My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T. I'm Will Lucas, and this is Black Tech Green Money. Dr. Tiffany St. Bernard is the CEO and founder of Hair Days, a one-of-a-kind hair intelligence platform providing personalized hair, scalp, and holistic wellness insights. We do a lot of things to our hair, and thus our scalps, that we often don't realize can be damaging. So before we talk about her technology, I asked Dr. St. Bernard to talk about some of the more common things that happen in our community regarding our hair that don't do us any good.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that is gaining a lot of popularity. Traction alopecia, for example. Traction alopecia is like hair loss due to tight hairstyles. And we love our braids, our ponytails, our, you know, our slick baby hairs. But it actually doesn't require that much force to kind of start ripping them out. And we basically normalize like having bumps or pain after braids, but that shouldn't be happening if it was done correctly.
So let's talk a little bit more about it. I used to have braids a while ago, and I always grew up thinking, well, this is just par for the course. Like, you asked for this, you know, nice braids, and, you know, this is what comes with it. You know, it costs the floss. You know what I'm saying? So how do you get a community of people who maybe going to somebody in their kitchen or maybe in somebody's basement to be like, look, you're actually doing yourself more of a disservice than you think? How do you communicate that to us?
Yeah, I mean, I think... And I would also say another thing that's hard about braids is sometimes you don't know it's tight until you're halfway through the head.
Yeah,
like you don't really start feeling the pain. But I think making sure that you are looking for a stylist or friends or the family that are doing it here that are really focused on like healthy hair practices. And so when you say like, this is like feeling tight or whatever, they're willing to redo it. And so I really look for that in the styles that I work with or like styles I go to. I make sure that they're okay with, they don't see me as like a diva for saying, hey, this is a little bit too tight or please redo this one. They're usually happy to do that because they don't want your edges ripped out and you not coming back, right? Or you're not happy, right? Resurfaces.
For sure. And so when I see people like you who are doing these remarkable things, technology, leveraging technology to help our community in ways that historically we haven't had, I get interested in how these ideas came about, because you could have done a lot of things. You could have decided, you know, I'm going to do, you know, a hair moisturizer. You could have said, I'm going to go do a new style of hot comb, but you decided to use technology to help educate us. What was the impetus that said, this is the angle I'm going to take to make our community be healthier in this way?
Yeah, so it came actually from my own personal hair health journey. Originally, my idea for Hair Days was around like a hair logging app, which is like, you know, basically like a MyFitnessPal for hair and scalp health, which we still have a lot of those elements. But in 2016, I almost passed away. I was hospitalized in the ICU, in and out, lost a lot of my hair. And I saw the deep connection between health, mental health, and overall wellness. And oftentimes hair is seen as like, it's just beauty, it's just superficial. But I realized how it took a major toll on my self-esteem, and I realized that it's not only me. And that was really the inspiration behind like the AI approach to what we're doing now. And as well as the tying in wellness and education in what we're providing.
You know, I think there's something there, and I don't have a question behind it, but I want to say, I think there's something to that because, you know, if you like, research like scientifically about hair, it's like they call it dead follicle. It's like it's not really like a nerve in it, right? So that you like your hair, you don't feel it when it gets cut, that scientists will tell you. But I have a lot of hair, number one, and yeah. I can feel something when my hair is cut. And so I don't know what that is, or if I said spiritual or neurological, I don't know how to define that. But the fact that people say, you know, well, it's just hair and you can cut it, and it's like it doesn't mean anything to you. To your point about confidence, like it's more than just, you know, a beauty thing, or it's more than just, you know, in that way. But I do feel like there's something, I don't know if you have anything to add to that. I didn't really have a question, but I do feel like there's something more to it than just something sitting on top of my head.
Yeah. In many cultures, your hair is like, it's part of your spirituality or ritual or even religion. And I definitely think there's a lot of power in your hair. And it definitely tied to how you feel about yourself, yeah. Right? If you look good, you feel good. I 100% believe in that saying. I think also hair is also a area for creativity. And so what look is one is, you know, it allows us to empower ourselves through creativity. Like, hey, my hair is turquoise because I love turquoise, for example.
Straight up. I love it. So when you get an idea for an app like this, how do you start off? So you like, do you automatically think I need to go raise money? Do you automatically think I need to go learn how to code? Why? What are the first steps you take? Because I'm imagining, because I did not read that you were an engineer. I read that you were a scientist. And so talk to me about how do you get started in this way?
Yeah. So actually, the reason I'm an engineer is I was really passionate about solving. Like I said, I'm interested in big problems that are overlooked, and I was really interested in building technology. And when I would talk to investors, they're like, you're not an engineer. So then I was like, fine, I'll get my PhD in engineering. You can't tell me that anymore. Yeah. But through the journey, I realized that in building a business, you really need a team. And so really, you should really reflect on your background and where your strengths are, and just figure out where, like, depending on what you're building, what the weaknesses are, and fill your team with those weaknesses. So like holistically, you guys are rock solid in all the areas that are required to build your business. But to answer your question about how do you start, first step always should be customer discovery. One of the number one reasons, I think it's like number two. So I think number one reason most businesses fail is because they run out of money. Number two is because they don't have customers. But I would argue the reason that they run out of money is because they're selling to, they don't have enough customers. Really, I really feel like the number one issue really is you're building, oftentimes people have these really amazing ideas and sometimes it may come from like my self-founder story or journey, but it may be that it really doesn't happen to enough people that has a burning issue or problem that they want to pay for. And so customer discovery is a first step. And so customer discovery is basically going out and talking to your potential customer. And it's not asking them what your idea is or telling them what your idea is and asking for the feedback on the idea. That's the second, third phase of customer discovery process. It's really about understanding their problems and listening for, are they saying what you think like your idea is or like coming somewhere close to that, right? So really listening to the customer and understanding what their problems are and building for that instead of building and they will come. That works sometimes if you're lucky. But 9 times out of 10, it does not work.
So talk to me, because I hear you, I want to reiterate what you just said. It's not about telling them what your idea is and asking them what they think. Is really trying to dig into what their problems are and what maybe they be doing today to solve those problems. So many entrepreneurs during that process can't help themselves but to talk about their idea and their solution. So how do you frame those questions to ensure that you're not tainting the responses that you're getting?
Yeah, so a good place to start is open-ended questions. So if I was starting Hair Days over today again, I may ask people like, hey, tell me about your hair. Like, do you face any problems or challenges? What are the number one things that you wish that you could solve? I would also add that people are really good at telling the problems, but not necessarily solutions. So people may come up with cool ideas, but oftentimes the ideas they come up with may not even be things that they would use themselves. So you have to be careful with that when you're asking people for feedback, because they'll come up with some really cool ideas, and then you ask them, would you use that? And they're like, maybe, sounds cool. Yeah. But in reality, it's just a cool idea, not something that they would actually really use. So there's a lot of bias there in the feedback. So just listen to them talking about their story, and you have to extrapolate or figure out what they really mean, like read between the lines.
So how did you come to a place where you knew that people would pay for this? Because it's one thing to say, hey, I have a conditioner for you. It's another thing to say, hey, I have an educational tool that actually helps you track to find the conditioner. Like, how did you get to a place that you knew they would pull out their wallet?
Yeah, so I personally interviewed hundreds and hundreds of women around their problems and concerns and so on. So that's kind of through the customer discovery process, I realized that we have something here that we're building. So then we push forward with the development process.
Yeah, so there was this quote I found. You were doing another interview, and I'm going to tell you what you said, and I have a question. You said, okay. You said, there's a classic inventor's mistake of being so caught up in problem solving that you take for granted that the way your solution is built and the way your customer may find it most useful may be slightly different. So many of you remember saying that, first of all?
Yeah.
So many of us start off in business because we have an idea that we just know will work, or we assume it will work in the marketplace. And what you're saying is, you know, often we're wrong. And so how do we ensure that we avoid that trap of being so romantic about the idea? Because what will happen, to your point about customer discovery, is we'll get so romantic about our ideas, we'll taint our questions in a way to get the answers that we want.
Yes, we will ask leading questions. And when you ask leading questions, you're going to always hear what you want to hear. Always. I oftentimes use like dating analogies, but I think it also happens in like the dating world, right? Oftentimes you're like, does he really like me? Does she really like me? Do they really like me? And everything they do, you're kind of wrapping around this fantasy of them loving you or wanting to be with you. But they're telling you through their actions, through their feedback, through everything that they're not interested, but you really want them to say yes, right? Or really want them to be with you. That happens in business too, right? It's just a human nature that we want to be right. And it's not necessarily always about ego. It's about like, we're so passionate about what we're doing, we don't want to be wrong, right? But in business, and especially if you're building a high tech venture, you have to be okay with realizing that you're wrong and pivoting and doing that quickly.
So I log into the app the first time. Talk to me about some of the questions you ask or things you ask me to do to help develop a profile for myself.
Yeah. So today we're asking a lot about your symptoms and concerns. So when you log in, of course you create your profile, and now you can also log in with social. And then once you're in the app, we're asking about your symptoms, concerns, and goals, and then we're curating our educational insights based on that. Later this year, we'll be also introducing a lot of the hair analysis related AI tools to help even further enhance your product discovery and hair journey process.
Yeah, so on the other side of that, I'm assuming, because I don't know your business model, so we're going to talk about that. You may suggest a certain type of conditioner or a certain, you know, for me, maybe it might be one day an aftershave or something like that, right? And so how do you get the information from those products to be able to match me to the best things for me? So like, I may say my symptoms are X, Y, and Z, and you give me, you know, T-Gen or something that will fix my problem. So how are you marrying me technologically to the thing?
Yeah, so I'm excited that my team is full of, we have cosmetic chemists, we have dermatologists, trichologists, cosmetologists, like all the ologists. And so we have a research team that does a lot of the research behind the ingredient level analysis and then matching peds. We also do partner with brands so that we can get more robust data. But even if we're not directly working with the brand, we can still do the research on the ingredients that are on the label to be able to make a better, more informed recommendation.
Yeah, so there's so many brands out there. How do you decide, okay, here's the slate of the ones we're going to review next? Like, how does that process work?
We do it based on popularity and which ones are most common. We're always looking for the next best product out there as well to add to our portfolio.
Yeah, and so there's, I'm sure you would know this even probably better than I, there's this movement towards things that have less chemicals, you know, that are less, you know, that are better sustainable for overall health and well-being. So as we become more knowledgeable about the product's chemistry, about the makeup of the products, the things used, I'm assuming you're not just giving me recommendations, but maybe also educating me, or one day you'll be educating me. So talk to me about trends that you're seeing with people's desires changing with the types of products they want to use and how, you know, Hair Days may help us there.
Yeah, so I mean, you're absolutely right. And people are really becoming more informed and more of informed, educated user around or customer around ingredients and like what works and what doesn't work. And in addition to that, like product companies as well as like government is also listening to that as well. And so they're changing things based on what the consumer is looking for, right? Like, you know, we demand it. Eventually, there has to be a change on the other end, right, to meet that demand. So we actually have a grant through the Health and Human Services, yeah, through the federal government to help support some of the research around helping Black women avoid endocrine-disrupting chemicals in their product. So endocrine-disrupting chemicals are basically, you can see, as toxic ingredients that tend to affect the endocrine system, so like hormones in the body. So that could be reproductive issues, that could be why it leads to fibroids, like, or like cancers and so on. So there's a lot of ingredients that are in our products that may not be the safest. And so we are working really hard to be able to provide the education and insights so that individuals can make more informed decisions on their product purchase.
Do you see a day where you may just develop your own products to help support the need in the marketplace for better things?
Possibly, but I really want to be brand agnostic. I think that there's so many products already existing, and one of the issues is which one works, which one doesn't work, and I want to be able to take a non-biased approach when we're making recommendations versus saying, you know, because if we have our own brand, then I would assume that we're more likely, hey, you should try Hair Days branded products. But I really want to be able to educate the consumer and help them navigate these thousands or millions of products that exist already. Let's do that first.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags to riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better. Over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
So I think about what you're doing from, let's say, from an investor's perspective. You know, historically, we've gotten so much pushback from venture capital community that will say, you know, well, what, the black hair market is not big enough. Obviously, we know that's not true. So talk to me about the types of questions you've had to answer, your fundraising journey in general, and how you've, you know, positioned this as like, this is a big opportunity.
Yeah. So I definitely echo everything you said, that it's definitely been a struggle, especially at a year or two ago where the industry was not as AI, machine learning, deep tech is like ubiquitous almost, or like it's trying to be like every industry is trying to adopt AI. So there's a lot, big shift there. But in hair care, unlike many other industries, it's really untapped. So when you're entering a new market, the question that investors are asking is, do people want it? Is that why it doesn't exist in this space? Or are you just are you just lucky where you identified an opportunity that no one else has really wanted to tap into? And so that's one of the major struggles in pitching in an area that is really new and innovative.
Yeah. So when you, because I was reading your LinkedIn and it talks about some multi-billion dollar fragmented hair market. So often we hear, you know, on shows like Shark Tank or even in venture capital offices, we'll hear startup founders, entrepreneurs say, you know, if I can just get like 1% of this market, then that'll be like $1 gazillion, right? You know, just like it's crazy. And there's a lot of pushback when they have those types of positionings. Like, if you can just get this of, if you can get just X of Y. And so how do you position this as a big opportunity, but still be grounded in what you can actually achieve?
Yeah, we talk about it from a phased rollout approach, instead of saying like, you know what, in the next year or so, we're just going to capture like 50% of this multi-billion dollar market. Instead of saying that, we talk about like this segment, the market even further down and to much smaller like fragments, and talk about how you start with this one niche and next, and then how it builds on to the next domain and so on and grows from there. A lot of the work that we're doing, I see a lot of value also in the healthcare space, right? So we're starting in the beauty space because it's like an easier path to revenue and an easier path to enter the market. But there's also so many other areas that we can work in, like from drug discovery process to the more health-related disorders, for example, like analyzing different forms of alopecia, for example. The hair and scalp space is like a blue ocean right now. And so there's a lot of opportunities to grow. And talking about this stage rollout process is definitely one that has helped us.
You just had me thinking about something. I didn't think about this before, but what I see like a lot of value in like the data that you get to, you know, compile, you know, so like you're able to over time be able to say, you know what, if we drill down in the data, we can tell, you know, women in the Southwest of the United States deal more with dandruff than women in the Midwest. And that could be valuable to, you know, some company. So did you see this as a data play, or did you see this purely as like, you know, a solution for people who have bad hair? Because there's both there in my view.
Yeah, we see it as a data from the perspective of like summary or reports, not selling individual data. So we're not in the business of selling like Susie from insights that can ultimately help the end consumer. So like you said, like, hey, people in this environment are having these type of struggles or concerns. Being able to help individuals that are tackling those concerns better do that. I want to empower individuals to businesses, brands, you name it, to solve the end consumer's problems.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags to riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
So talk to me, because you mentioned this when you mentioned, you know, when you talked to venture capitalists and angel investors, you know, well, how come this isn't in the market yet? Or is this something that you love and actually wouldn't work? Talk to me about how important timing is, because could you have done this 10 years ago, or would this still be an opportunity 10 years from now? We don't know, but how important is timing?
Timing is everything. You can look at it in even other other industries. Like, I cannot remember the name of the company, so forgive me for this, but even in the like personal computer spaces or like smaller devices space, like there are companies that were in the market before Apple, right? For example. But they didn't win because the timing wasn't right. People didn't want what they were offering yet. They were not ready to adopt this personal computer at home device. So it's timing matched with good technology, matched with like whatever, meeting the consumer or the customer's end goals is everything. Now, you can have the best idea and it won't work for the next 10 years just because the market's not ready. Yeah. Or you're too early, or you could be too late.
So what did you see in the market that said this is the right time?
So I would say that we were a little bit early, but we stuck with it because we saw where the industry was going and just ignored naysayers. And so we were lucky that with my background or PhD in background research, we were able to secure a number of grants that allowed us to keep going and keep doing the research while the industry catches up. Yeah. So now it's like, now like the, some of the, like the bigger brands are really interested in what we're building. But back a year or so ago, it was very different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard you talk about grants a couple of times, and I read online about some of the grants. Talk to me about that fundraising journey outside of grants. Is this something that you've already raised angel investor dollars from, venture capital dollars from, or are you on that path?
Yes, our fundraising journey is, we have secured a number of angel and venture capital investments through our network. But I always lean on grants because I think it's a really powerful tool that is underused and underleveraged.
Non-dilutive, often.
Oh, that too. I think I should have led with that part, right?
I'm not giving up nothing, you know.
yeah. You, and also it allows grants don't have the expectation that you have to have a product at the end. You could be tinkering and figuring this out, and that empowers you to be more creative because you're not worried about, well, what if I don't hit my milestones, right? Like, as long as you can say, hey, I tried this. This was my scientific approach. This is why we went this direction, and it didn't go well. You can still get another grant.
Yeah.
So.
So what put you, how did you find out like that was an option for you? Like, was it because you were doing, you know, something that was scientific and biologically related, or like, you know, so like what matched you to that journey?
Grants specifically. Grants were, I think one of my advisors, I think, told me about one of the grant opportunities. And then it's kind of like most times in networking, right? You start at this party, you talk about what you're doing, and then someone tells you about this other opportunity and this other opportunity. So it kind of ended like that, like started like that. However, I would say there are plenty of grants that exist that are non like deep tech or research heavy grants, right? They may be on a smaller side, but they're still pretty sizable, like $10,000, $25,000. Or some of the more like deep tech grants, maybe $250,000, $500,000, $1 million. But there are still a lot of opportunities to tap into that while you're trying to figure out exactly how things work. And a lot of those grant programs also have customer discovery built in. So they'll teach you how to interview people. They'll teach you how to figure out, like read between the lines, like I was mentioning. So I know I keep bringing up the grants part, but it's for a reason.
I love it. So there's this old Wayne Gretzky quote where he said, you know, you can't skate to where the puck is. You got to skate to where it's going. And, you know, when you started this business a few years ago, like we talked about AI, but it was really more about crypto and blockchain, you know, and maybe the metaverse, you know, back then. How did AI come into the conversation? Like, what was the impetus to bring that artificial intelligence into the conversation years ago when we weren't talking about that at the scale that we are now?
I think we realized that one of the issues is individuals that are trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work for their hair, that self-diagnosis piece is oftentimes incorrect. So, so realizing that individuals are like struggling with being able to kind of, first you had to actually identify what the real problem is, and then you're able to treat it. And so when I talk to a number of our experts, like the different trichologists, which are hair experts or dermatologists, oftentimes the individual will come in and say, hey, I have oily hair or I have dry hair. And oftentimes they have the opposite. So if they're treating their hair for being oily, right?
Yeah.
When they have dry hair, they might be actually perpetuating the problem, making it even worse. And so being able to use computer vision or AI to be able to extract those concerns and automatically recommend the problems, recommend based on those problems, is where the idea came from.
Going back to what I talked about, you know, what your LinkedIn say, you know, this is a multi-billion dollar fragmented hair market. I want to pull out that word fragmented because I think it's important. That in so many ways, in my mind at least, that means consolidation will happen on some level. Either you're working towards being acquired, or you're working towards being the acquirer, you know, because if this thing is so fragmented, then there's so much opportunity to be for big players to become bigger and small players to become big themselves. So what are your goals when you think about, especially when you go out to raise money, that a lot of the questions can be, what's the exit? What's the out on this? Are you working towards being bought, or do you work towards, you know what, I want to be the next Procter & Gamble?
Yeah, so I think we're still early enough that either option is viable, but I definitely want to take it to like a sizable, like multi-billion dollar stage before we decide to exit. I definitely am really passionate about the problems we're solving here, and I really want to stick with it as long as possible.
Did you always see yourself as an entrepreneur, or this is, because I know you were studying different things that don't always necessarily lead towards entrepreneurship, but maybe they lead towards great careers, you know, but talk to me about that journey for yourself.
Actually, I did not know I wanted to be an entrepreneur at all. I think it was like in the back of my head, but I didn't know what entrepreneur meant, or how you get started or anything like that. When I was a PhD candidate, though, I did know at that point that I was really passionate about entrepreneurship. And so I saw the PhD curriculum as an opportunity to be able to kind of figure it out as I go. I see PhD journey very similar to entrepreneurship, because you're building a solution or technology for particular problem. The real difference I see is that in the PhD world, the end goal could be just new knowledge.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't have to be a business or like finances or something like that. Where in the entrepreneurship world, unless you're a nonprofit, the real goal is to be able to generate revenue and, in my eyes, also change people's lives.
So can you offer some encouragement, words of advice, leave us with something? Because again, you were on a very research-driven, scientific, you know, path. For people who may not even realize that the idea is in them, but they're searching for that thing that will set them on fire, what would you say to somebody, the Tiffany, you know, from 6 years ago or whatever years ago, that is on this journey, don't realize where it's going to end up, but has something that will be contributive to our community? What would you say?
If you're on an entrepreneurship journey, like, you know that you have this cool idea or industry that you're interested in disrupting, like, I would say that to make sure that you find the solution that you are passionate about, like, you have a burning passion, because there will be many times that it's ups and downs. Like, within a given day in the startup world, I get the best news, the worst news, in between, like, and that's normal.
Every day.
Yeah, within a day. So it's not even like I had a bad week. No, I might have had a bad hour. Like,
and then the next hour was great.
Yeah. So the realizing that it is for you. Sometimes you may consider yourself, like, maybe it's not for you. You're not the right person to bring this vision to life. But realize that this whole imposter type syndrome, even the most successful people that you see are feeling this way. The difference is they see that as, like, they feel this and they just know it's like, okay, it'll pass, right? And how I deal with that is I'm like, okay, why am I feeling this way? I kind of talk to myself like, oh, why am I feeling this way? And then address the problem directly. So, like, I realized that for me personally, I get more stressed when I have this problem and I have no idea of how to solve it. So instead of leaving it lingering, I'm like, okay, this is my problem. Like, how can I solve this? How can I tackle it? And then create a plan to do so. And then you could, like that feeling can go to the side, right? I know it sound like I make it sound like it's so simple, and it's not. It's actually a lot of work and a lot of practice to be able to do that. But I think it's a really powerful skill, is to be able to push past the feeling of, like, the imposter syndrome, or, like, feeling like it's not for you. It is for you. If you're passionate about it, it is for you. You just have to find a scrappy way to get it done.
Black Tech Green Money is a production of Blavity Afrotech on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia, and it's produced by Morgan DeBon and me, Will Lucas, with additional production support by Sarah Ergen and Rose McLucas. A special thank you to Micah Davis, Vanessa Serrano, and Maya Muldrew. Learn more about my guests and other tech disruptors and innovators at afrotech.com. Join Black Tech Green Money and share this with somebody. Go get your money. Peace and love. AT&T Connects, an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids.
Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.